Music. We don't need no music.
Yeah, we don't. We don't.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Beat Firing Podcast. My name is DJ Geometrics. We got Stylist Chris.
What up?
Got DJ Sean J. And finally, we got Doc Bluss.
Blasty.
What up?
And of course, who's missing today? He's stuck in Vegas. He's stuck
in the time hole of Las Vegas.
He's on an all girls trip, and he's the only guy there.
That sounds great.
I told Art, yo man, you're basically everybody's IG boyfriend for this weekend. You're gonna be working that camera. You're gonna be working that camera right there, man. But yeah.
Shout out to
Az1 today. So hopefully, you know, we'll see him back next week. But he's having fun with that Vegas trip with his girl and Lee's girlfriend. So he's the only guy in that trip. So
as if.
All right, that was dumb. So fellas, what did you guys do over the weekend? Did you guys work? Did you guys
gigging? Did a wedding over here. It was an indoor one, mask required inside the venue. It was at the Four Seasons here in Baltimore, and they were like, the moment you walk in the door, you better keep your mask on the whole time. So, hey, I've been comfortable with that for a minute, but I got myself one of them nice KN95 situations, and my ears are hurting, but skills to pay the bills.
Nice. What about you, Chris?
I've got the contract down at the Wharf. We're doing these outdoor pop-ups throughout the whole summer and into the fall, sponsored by Heineken and DC United. And so Friday, it's a great gig. It's the Wharf might be the best place right now to people watch.
Oh, nice.
Because you're just like DJing. You're DJing out on the pier. There's a couple restaurants right there. And the restaurants all turn off their music and just let the DJ play the music for them. And then like people are walking by and like you'll see people stop and start dancing. Or if like you play a jam, like this older couple started hand dancing. It was like they were like,
oh yeah, you know, back and, yeah. I've seen some videos that because you've had like Art DJ. That
yeah. Art's been down there with me, Rome. The Vibe Conductor Stylist, my twin brother. And, and yeah, so it's like it's a super fun gig. 'Cause you can play kind of probably the closest, in person gig to like how I stream on ESL and things like that, where I'm not playing a lot of pop music and playing like interesting conversational stuff. And like, yeah, the people watching is great. I brought my kids down with me, 2 weekends ago, and they just hung out, and it was dope. So that was all I did. Is I took this weekend off because this week starts just craziness for me with private events and weddings up through like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What about you, Doc?
Well, I did not have any gigs this weekend, but I certainly took some time to practice and do some digging. I'm preparing for this next weekend to play at the Flat, which is going to be super
nice. Fun. Shout out nice. To Sun.
DJ huge Sun. Shout out to DJ Sun and the crew there, Malcolm Bravo, Sabinin, and Baron Hawk, who's going to be coming down as well. I'm so excited.
That's cool. Baron Hawk 48. Shouts to that guy.
Yes. Huge shout out to Baron Hawk. So some DC loving. We'll be passing through Houston next weekend.
Whoa.
Nice.
Yeah, that awesome. should be a lot of fun. And
Sorry.
Well, for me, I didn't do anything. I didn't have any gigs this weekend, but this was like the only off I have for, you know, and then next week is, like, you know. Well, actually, you know what? No. I scratch that. I don't have a wedding in Labor Day, because that one wedding I was telling you guys about was got canceled last minute. But after that, it's just like straight shot for pretty much almost every single weekend up until like New Year's. But yes. I did, to pass the time, I did do a deep dive on Serato Studio.
Oh,
I was just getting used to it. And, you know, I was like, I was looking at my desk. I'm like, I haven't used my Rocket 6s, my KRKs in a while. So Let me plug in my audio interface and plug in and because I've had like Serato Studio, so I was like, yeah, let me play around with it this weekend. So I've gotten to know I've learned a lot of like the workflow, so it's like it's the easiest.
If
you're starting out production, it's the easiest.
It's so fast
production software to use.
Yeah,
that's good to hear. Well, that's awesome. I mean, thankfully, DJ one of the Beer Foundry instructors, is really.
He's the expert.
He's great at that. So
Serato Studio,
living in there.
Yeah,
but I like
instructors that know their stuff at the Beer Foundry.
But it's good that because like I really like was looking at like all the updates on Serato Studio, and the fact that you can actually do like it's got like a really good timeline for adding, especially when you're trying to do like remixes. It's pretty dope. So
like an arrangement view?
The arrangement window. It's got like a better, last time I saw it was like honestly, last time I saw it was still in Serato sample, but now the studio software is like really I got a good interest in it right now, man. I might get back into like making some music.
There we go.
Easiest way to make your edits now going forward.
I mean, just
yeah.
What you do is do weddings. So just make some really dope wedding edits.
Well, I'm kind of like getting inspired with like Nick Bike's, edits and remixes. So it's like I want to start doing stuff like that.
That is just more for like your like. Brand that's just more the creative side, or would you actually apply these to like the your wedding stuff?
I might do wedding edits,
nice.
Who knows?
That's fun,
but I just want to get it's really easy to use. I haven't had like any good tracks that I want to show off yet, but it's there. Like all my plugins are there, like all the sounds I've downloaded, so I gotta get Splice. So
there it is.
Get into that. So I'm kind of getting into a deep dive on it again into production. But yeah. Right. Anyways, so let's get on with the podcast. This is a new format for the podcast. We are just going to dive in on a few topics and just do a roundtable discussion on it. So, Doc, what do you got?
Yes.
What do you got first?
Well, first thing, very exciting news. We got BeatSource now allows you to carry 1,000 songs on the offline locker, which is so. For those that don't know, BeatSource is a streaming platform, like an online music database for a bunch of music. They just loaded over 100,000 DJ edits of like exclusive stuff that really you can most easily find on BeatSource. And they're making it really DJ friendly forward. And one of the ways that they're doing that is allowing you to also directly from the database, put it into a playlist on BeatSource Link, which again, integrates with the Denon or with Serato.
Virtual DJ. Algorithm, all those.
Algorithm. Man, it's awesome. So multi-platform, and you can now have like over 1,000 songs really actually 1,000 songs on BeatSource offline lockers. So you don't actually have to stream it at the gig, but you already have it downloaded inside the BeatSource link locker. So that's pretty.
And it's a big,
that's all you need.
It's a big announcement. It's a huge announcement. Cause like the, like 1,000 offline tracks before that,
that's a gig. You don't even,
what was it? What you can,
it was 100 before that, man. Yeah. Nope. I've been digging into this the way you 100 were
digging max for like the top tier.
Yeah,
like there's like three different tier plans, and like the lowest one is like I don't quote me on this, maybe 20-25,
I think the lowest one was 50
zero.
And
it was zero.
Middle tier was like 50.
yeah.
And then it was 100 at the top tier, so going from 100 to 1,000. And they also I think
they and all the new music they're adding.
Yeah. And they got rid of the middle price tier. So now it's like, if you want to try it out, then you've got the entry level one. If you want to jump all in, then you immediately get access to that 1,000. There's no like stepping in the water and having a little bit of access. It's like all or nothing. And that's
pretty game superb.
So and Sean, you mentioned that you've been using BSource for a while now. Like, what are you using it for?
Yeah, man. So I've been toying around with it ever since they had the beta version. And I was just like, I want to see how reliable this is. I was using it for live streaming and stuff in the house just to test it out. But going forward into like this past weekend, I had a client that is like a music head. Actually, the couple that got married, they were both like, we go to a lot of festivals and they know a lot of really like underground music. And one of the things is the bride sent me a bunch of playlists she put together on Pandora, and one of them was called Missing Echo Stage. So I was like, okay, there's a lot of stuff on here that I probably need to go and buy, but let's try something real quick. Are you guys familiar with all of us? I know Gio, you are, with Sound Is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doc, Chris? Yes.
Yeah, Chris, you're familiar with that. He's
Yeah. For the audience, let's talk about Sound Is lets you convert playlists from one format to another. So if you've got a Pandora playlist like I did for this couple, then you can import that into Sound Is and it'll automatically export it to another platform. BeatSource is part of that. So basically, yeah. I took all the clients' lists, including that Missing Echo Stage, all the Big Room Rave stuff they wanted to hear at their wedding, and it took me 10 minutes total to just convert everything into BeatSource format, and I was good to go. Then I took everything, threw it on the offline locker, and I was like, all right, now I don't have to go and spend like however many dollars to buy individual tracks or try to find them in the record pools or any of that stuff. It was just there. It took me 10 minutes for very obscure stuff, have them on my online locker because the Wi-Fi was spotty at the gig. And I was like, this is the reason why this is going to change the game. I think if the question is this what DJs really needed to jump on board? I feel like, yeah, if you're not jumping on game changer, you're late.
On that note, also using Sound Is, one of the ways I do it, I Shazam like everything all the time, just always Shazamming, blatantly Shazamming.
No shame in that game. That's what we
do. Now it's like a compliment for the DJs. Like, dude, Shazamming this. This is dope. Right? But it all goes into my Spotify and then through Sound Is, link that straight to BeatSource so that I can start experimenting with it in the mix. Like, it's just every week, just go through what I just Shazammed that week. And it's just so easy. You just import straight into BeatSource, and then I start playing with it immediately.
How long have you been using it, Doc?
I've been using it since it launched, since Beatport and BeatSource Link could both integrate with the Denon, which was in like early winter.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Just to experiment with it. And side note on that, the Denon doesn't allow the offline locker yet, but it's still super useful, and I just hotspot off my phone.
My next question is, I think we can all feel comfortable if you're at home using it or you're on your own Wi-Fi, but a lot of the venues that we might be playing at, you don't know if they're going to have Wi-Fi or what the quality of the Wi-Fi will be. So what would be the workaround for, you know, is it just creating the hotspot on your phone, or is there like, I know, I think you can still purchase these. You can purchase like a little, it almost looks like a little external drive, and it is.
Yeah. It's like a MiFi.
Yeah. A MiFi. And then, so is it like where you're going to also need to have like a, you know, whatever MiFi, yeah, like a MiFi.
It's like a Game Boy.
Or
wow, look at that! It's got a screen.
This is an old one I have. Yeah, it's like just a hotspot that I got years ago. Actually, this one doesn't even work anymore. But I'm gonna get another plan for these things because you can just have this as a thing to charge your phone and give you reliable internet access without using your phone specifically. If it's got to be one thing that does one job, you can get a plan for these that are
but way cheaper. That's the thing with like when it was still down to like 100 max offline tracks, you really needed to have like a reliable internet source. But now it's like 1,000. It's like you really don't need to be online. And the easiest way to go online, you know, is basically going through, you know, creating a hotspot through your phone and just like, you know, connecting through that Wi-Fi from your laptop.
Usually like, you have good Wi-Fi in the city.
Yeah, but like for me, this has convinced me to like really use it now. Mm-hmm. You know, because like that 100 was like, I mean, for the way I'm going to use it, it's 100 is good, but like I still want like a little bit more. But 1,000 now, it's like, wow, it's like now I can go, you know, the way I'm going to use it. Of course, it's like if my clients request like certain songs where I'm like, I'm just going to play it one time, I'll just put it on the, yeah, put it on that list, offline it, and then take it off the list like after I'm done with it, or like even like songs that are like that are supposed to be hot right now, but I don't see myself playing in the next year, or they're not like classics, you know?
Yeah,
that's not gonna have like any kind of like shelf life later on. I'm definitely would most likely just go with that, like, putting it in the offline locker, and then like when it's time to like, you know, say goodbye to it, bam.
I just realized something. Serato, now that it has play count and the play count works with your beat source tracks, it's kind of the proving ground for like, if I've played this a couple times from the one in my offline locker, that means I should probably actually have this file, and that frees up spots for you to have some other different songs in your locker. So it just hit me. This is kind of like, I'm actually playing it, then I should probably have a physical copy of the file. If not, then it goes all by the wayside. You can download it again later.
I got to use that Serato play count feature more. I need to add that to more of my playlist.
I just forgot that it was there until just now. I was like, oh, wait a minute, I should filter these this way.
But yeah. I mean, I think a lot more DJs are going to subscribe to BeatSource, especially newer DJs.
Yeah.
Like, yep. 1,000 offline tracks. That's like,
I mean, if you're an 18-year-old young DJ and you don't have a library built yet, I mean,
that's instant.
And it's library, all on Spotify anyway.
And you can see it, you know, the gatekeepers, the old school guys are going to, you know, really throw their noses up at this. But really what it does is it really does level the playing field of everybody has the same music. It's what you do with it. And in turn, what it does is it brings light back to celebrating people that are really creative with their music selections and what they do, because, you know, I think for a long time, the older generation of DJs, even guys my age or maybe a little older, would say like, you know, well, they would have almost job security in the fact of knowing that no, it's just expensive to buy all these records, like real records. And
facts.
And so it's like, yeah, you know, I can get away with not practicing or working harder at my craft because I'm the only one with these tools. But now that everybody has the tools,
you gotta,
even all of us veterans, it's like you've got to work hard to maintain your creativity and your music knowledge and how you build a set, because there's going to be someone else right behind you that is ready to take your spot even more now they do have the tools, you know.
It's not your gear, it's your ear.
Yeah.
Oh. Shout out to Buck Rogers.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Quoting Buck Rogers.
No, but as far as like the DJ edge, that's the first of all, 1,000 offline tracks, awesome. But like, you know, like what deterred me from like BeatSource is still, you know, it's you're downloading like the actual original version of the songs,
yeah,
which is sometimes like it doesn't, it's not DJ friendly. But now like 100,000 DJ edits. Which is, it's dope, man. That's where
and really, acapellas and instrumentals on there too.
Yeah, like DJ tools.
Yes,
for random stuff. There's,
I mean, that's already like a beat port feature. Anyways, they've always had like acapellas and instrumentals,
yeah. Stems.
Even like DJ tools, quote unquote.
Yeah, stems and yeah.
I love my creative DJ tools.
But I'm curious, like for you guys, I have like BeatSource. Like, have you seen what kind of DJ edits it is? Is this just like an intro outro type deal, or?
Yeah, I've seen like if you go on like your top 20, like the 20, and you like click on a particular song, you can often now, when 3 months ago this wasn't the situation, see like, all right, The Weeknd's new track, the original version, intro edit. Explicit version is marked, clean versions marked. Like, you get the DJ intro version and the original of almost every popular song, and then the back catalog stuff. There's all the back catalog stuff too that they, if it's not already available with an intro version, then those things are getting rolled out song by song as the little holes need to be filled, kind of thing.
Now, Sean, have you tried it where you have a track offline, and then are you able to I'm not remembering what it is. Flip it.
Serato. All the regular features in Serato work.
So it saves it too, like, you know.
Save everything. All the metadata that you would normally have saved into the file, that stuff stays on your local computer. And that's why I was remembering that the play count works, because all that stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's even from the streaming version at that too. Like, you don't even have to use the offline version of it.
Yep. Even if it's not on your offline, it still saves all that stuff.
Yeah, I have noticed my cue points.
The same way, like, if, you know, if I email you a track and I have cue points in it, they still come along. Yep. So it's like it matches.
Oh, exactly.
Well, cool. So BeatSource, they are a... can we make an announcement?
Yeah.
They are an official partner of ours. They are our music provider for all of our schools.
Soon come. It's in the process.
But in the works. But yes,
the ink is drying as we speak.
So. But yeah, Beat Refinery at Bach to Rock, all locations, a whole bunch of locations. We have 25 plus locations nationwide. We'll definitely have, like, a lot of our workstations will have BeatSource.
That's awesome.
So let's move on.
Well, we have there is a large demand now for wedding DJs, New York Times reports, because we are in short supply. So people are recommending going even on Fiverr to look up musicians, or going around snooping around different live spots as DJs, and are in high demand, and there are relatively few in supply. Even people hiring friends, or not necessarily recommending, but even considering options like a recorded set. So what do you guys think about that? What are some things?
Well, let's fix that up a little bit. So New York Times said that, you know,
Let's go back a bit.
They reported that, you know, like, as more weddings, events are coming back, you know, because we're getting back to, you know, getting back to normal from that whole, from lockdown, pandemic and all that. You know, it's gotten to the point where a lot of, like, you know, the weddings, especially the weddings, they've been postponed, you know, from last year to, you know, a lot of my weddings got postponed to this year, to this fall. We lost Doc. But Doc, anyways,
out.
Yeah, he's out, but he'll be back. But you know, as far as, like, my weddings and a lot of everybody's, like, weddings and events, you know, they, that ones booked from last year, they're postponed to this year, to this fall, maybe even, like, for next year. So it's taken up a lot of your free dates.
Yeah,
you know, that you're available. So I haven't really taken up a lot of new bookings this year, because a lot of my bookings from last year got postponed to this year. So I'm like in limited availability as far as dates on, and especially the really popular dates, especially fall. Fall is like the number one season for weddings.
October is slammed.
Yeah, so it's like I've had to, like, really, like, decline a lot of, like, gigs that a lot of weddings.
Yeah, there's a mass scramble. You know, but, and for everybody that's listening, what happened with all the postponements, that some have been 18 months at this point, and then you have other people that decided to get married. They go in, find out the venue is already booked. They're trying to book the venues on Wednesdays, on Thursdays. There's weddings happening on random days based on the popularity of the venue, or they're needing to find alternate venues, sometimes going outside of the normal area. And, you know, you're limited to who the DJs in that area are. So that's creating a little bit of a vacuum of need. And then we've heard stories of in this whole music industry where DJs, bartenders, wait staff, left managers in restaurants and venues, left the industry completely during the pandemic. It's something that people, you know, when it gets politicized, people say, oh, there's still so many people that are collecting unemployment that are in the restaurant industry and all that. And that's really not a fair statement. What happened is there's a lot of people with double master's degrees that work in a restaurant in their late 20s, and they're a bartender with a really good school background. And they're deciding, like, you know what? I got to grow up now. It's been fun getting all this cash and this, you know, fast money and fun life of the restaurant world. But the pandemic really opened a lot of people's eyes to saying, I need to go do what I went to school for. And I think you're seeing a lot of DJs that maybe did it for fun, or, you know, maybe as a secondary income, that decided, or maybe they were trying to make a main income out of it and decided, I got to go back to what my other.
Yeah, a lot of the full time DJs that were, especially, you know, I was telling you guys earlier, like a lot of the multi op, you know, DJ wedding companies, you know, they have a big roster of DJs, but, you know, a lot of them, some are part time, but mostly probably are full time. And yeah, they've lost their income. So, you know, they've had to pick up like a day job or really start a new career. So as the weddings are coming back, they're not available because they've moved on. You know, that's why it's getting harder for a lot of those companies to really hire out. As they're getting more inquiries and more bookings, they're having a hard time finding DJs
a bad time to be a DJ is when you're in high demand and short supply. That means you can charge a premium.
Right.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. I've read some articles in some magazines, some DJ magazines, some DJ publications where, you know, a lot of very established DJs just, you know, they really took this time to rebrand and restructure their pricing. Guys going anywhere from adding up to 10% to 40% on their normal booking fees based on, you know, what they feel they deserve at this point or what they did to, you know, during the downtime to grow their company, maybe add more services. And you have the guys that were able to, you know, stay very relevant and on top of what was happening despite being on pause. But now that they're back in full swing, any new inquiries that are coming in, they're like, you know, they're limiting, even if they're not booked on that date, they're pricing up on that because they're like, hey, I'm confident that if you're still looking for a DJ for this date and you don't book me, there's going to be somebody else looking for a DJ on that same date. So
exactly.
So it's definitely a good time for DJs to recalibrate their worth.
Yeah. Especially as we're getting into fall. I'd say that to kind of reframe and go back towards what this article was talking about, the demand is so high, the supply is lower because it's kind of like all of the middle tier and lower tier DJs that were either doing things part-time or just trying to find their footing have gone on, like you said, Chris and Gio, like they've gone on and done other things. So what this article really also touches on is it's giving advice to like the average person who doesn't know anything about DJs. If you can't find a DJ for your date, what can you do? And this is where I was like, I don't know if I take this as a good word of advice, but they're suggesting, hey, hit up Fiverr. Hey, hit up your local bar and talk to the DJ there. Hey, hit up other venues. Do you have any musician friends? See if they're available. And it's not a bad idea on the surface, but one, I know if you're just looking for people on Fiverr, Fiverr is known for having like ethical concerns as far as how they pay the people out on the other side of it. You're probably not going to get the best quality if you're going to look on Fiverr. You might want to talk to somebody who's an established DJ and see who they recommend. And just going into your random bar and stuff like that is no different than looking for the guy who used to be a part-time DJ and now the only gigs consistently are the bar gigs. I feel like this article might be pointing people in the direction of the not so appealing options as a, like, we don't have many other options. I'd say have these conversations with DJs that you know are established from a client perspective and see if they have recommendations for you. Because like we've said here, with this increased demand and low supply, we all have these networks of people, such as the four of us here today, that we can refer to someone else if we might be completely booked up, because most of us are.
How do you book a DJ through Fiverr? I'm still curious about that. I mean, I booked stuff like through Fiverr, like, you know, like graphics work and admin work, you know, like virtual assistant work. But how do you book a DJ?
I don't know. I've had people on Fiverr try to like design flyers for me and gotten bad results. And it's like, and multiply that by hundreds of dollars. I'm just, this isn't a good idea. You got to go through so many before you find a good one. That's just not worth the risk.
I'm really curious about that. I'll be really curious about the process. Cause don't you have like to have like a tangible item to get paid.
Right. $5, I will have a conversation with you about your wedding, and then like for $5,000, then
I've seen a lot of DJs.
How does that work?
I've seen a lot of DJs where they advertise, oh, I'll make you a mix, you know, through Fiverr, and or I'll make you like an edit through Fiverr, but
I'm sure some of those guys are just taking
the DJ gig through Fiverr. That's weird.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting one. I think that was one of the things they were saying is maybe you could have somebody create a mix for you. And I have had a few calls from, you know, there's definitely been some scenarios where we've had, you know, people that have had their date switched around 3 times, and then they're just like, you know what? We're not even really having, we already got married. We went and now we're just having like this little party, and can you make us a mix?
And I've actually done one of those last summer.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, no, sorry.
I've been asked to make a pre-recorded mix. It wasn't for a wedding. It was like for.
No, there's clients that I've had where I've done pre-recorded mixes for where the actual event only needs a pre-recorded mix.
Like a cocktail hour.
A wedding needs a DJ. And there's no way that I'm going to put my work into a mix for that. And unless you want to pay me the same price, I'll do it for the same price for sure. I would certainly make some mixes from home for the normal rate I'd charge a wedding, but no less, no half
rate.
Yeah. It's just kind of a dilution to what you're doing. I mean,
if you're in high demand, you might be able to do that. I'll do it the same rate. Okay, we'll do what we can.
If you're in high demand, though, man, you shouldn't give out Fiverr, you know.
Price. Yeah, if you're in high demand,
no. Let's go on. Fiverr. You should not be getting out Fiverr. Yeah, right. I agree with that. Which,
big shout out to all the Fiverr DJs. Out
yeah.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you do there. You. Do that grind.
Are you guys now? The interesting thing will be, how will the market recalibrate 2022, 2023? You know, is it going to be where then it's an oversaturation of DJs because more guys got into the game or stepped their game up, and then is it going to backfire to where
you're going
to
be a DJ market crash?
You know, yeah, I mean, it's
a DJ bubble.
The DJ bubble. You know, that's what will be interesting to see. Is this DJ a bubble?
DJ bubble.
I hope not.
So like all events are going to go to the moon?
We're going to the moon right now. We're going there.
And I'm now only Dogecoin.
Speaking of, we got a topic coming up.
By the way, guys, we're not a finance financial experts. This is not a cryptocurrency podcast. Just a reminder.
Not financial advice.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
What's that? It's like the Fisher Investments commercials where there's that guy and he's like, you know, sitting back on his cell phone, just clocking money off of the client's accounts. Just like, I don't know anything about investments, but I'll take 5% of yours all day long.
Yep. Oh, man. All right. You guys want to move on?
We could segue into that topic. Speaking of making your own edits online and then putting them on.
Well,
really interesting.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
So recently, Audius, which is a decentralized streaming platform like Spotify, but everyone now has the opportunity to vote on the music that you want to get more publicity, as opposed to Spotify curating your music and putting it into a playlist that the people in Spotify decide. Now, if you are a contributor, a participant of Audius, this decentralized blockchain-powered streaming platform, they're calling it the decentralized Spotify, then if you are an owner of the tokens used in Audius, you can then use those, put those to work to let certain artists or music be represented more and circulate more. And another way of getting more exposure now, which just recently happened, is it seems like Audius is the best way also to get your music on TikTok. It's the easiest, fastest way, quoting here Guy Lawrence from Disclosure. He says, quote, "This is a very big step forward with this new feature. Now, having the ability to share my upload straight from Audius to TikTok is a real time saver." So it's easy and essentially goes into TikTok's sounds library. So if you want to get viral on TikTok and you're making obscure, interesting edits and you're not really sure what to do with them, Audius is the place for that right now. And it just integrated with TikTok, so it can really quickly get exposed.
So if you guys aren't hip to the TikTok game, I know Sean Jay is. He's a big time TikTok user.
I love me some TikTok.
Sean Jay.
I'm a big time viewer, but what we noticed, like, you know, through the DJ, you know, all the DJs that's on TikTok, you know, there's a lot of like the viral music that non DJs, like, you know, everybody else, a lot of those were edits. Like, big example was like, who was it?
Miles Medina had that routine from his Goldie Awards.
Yeah, that's been like a huge viral hit as far as music that everybody's using, and it's Missy Elliott, listen to me now
when he was finger drumming, and that became a sound that like non-DJs are using all over the world.
Exactly. Crazy. It went viral just from one little snippet of his routine. I really don't know how it got viral. I don't even know if Miles Medina knows that. Right. You know, it's probably somebody that uploaded his routine. It's part of, like, you know, like the TikTok music library. Because you can pick out music from their library, which is like approved by whoever. God, no.
Well, that's what we're getting at. And I'm actually curious how that music got onto the sounds library, because now you don't have to rely on these distributors, aggregators that are going to select, right? It might be really challenging to get an obscure edit like that through DistroKid or CD Baby, for example. But now on Audius, it's whatever. You know, so, it's really the people decide what goes on.
So this is basically the same idea. I'm making sure I follow this. This is like the same idea as if I was to take an edit that I made and put it on SoundCloud, except the moment I upload it, then it goes to TikTok and people can see it there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to think about it. And it's interactive in ways that, like, you know, one on TikTok, and also people can vote on it, which might push it around more. Using the Audius token side of it, which is that blockchain powered part of it, where like if someone owns the Audius token or audio token, then they can like kind of invest in you. They can push that onto you as a tip.
I know in the crypto space that like investing in people that you like is a really big thing. It's a very community driven thing. But I would say this, and I live and breathe by Pharrell quotes. Pharrell said, every single track you make, every single edit, I think would qualify for this too, is like a lotto ticket. So the more at-bats you have, the more tracks you upload, the more lotto tickets are out there, the more opportunity
to
hit the million.
And he said that too, and I respect that, yeah.
So now that I'm like, you know, totally agree, to get back into music production via Serato Studio.
Yeah, get that Serato Studio game going.
Doc, are you going to invest in my token?
hell yeah, dude. Yeah, of course I would. Wait, John Jay and I were talking about this.
Hey, man, I'm
actually.
Yeah, yeah, like that's a good way.
Full disclosure, I own Audius token, yeah.
All right, I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah, and I would love to give
just give you a token of my appreciation.
give me a like.
A blockchain-powered token of appreciation.
Like, and maybe like a...
Oh, that's so dope.
Like a comment with emojis.
Yeah.
now, here's the thing. Here's what I'm curious about. So now this is the easiest way to get your mashups, quote-unquote mashup, remixes, edits as
pretty
a DJ
exciting.
Up on TikTok. Now, how does it go viral? How do you convince, like, you know,
that's a
young
social dynamics,
you know, trying to create like the new viral TikTok dance? Like, how do you get it viral?
It's
like,
a great question. I would say Google Trends actually might be real helpful. SEO, right? So sound in search engine optimization. If we want to get technical, look at Google Trends, whatever your thing's related to, put that in the headline, put that in the hashtag, and then yeah, that'll help.
I think for next week's episode, man, we need to like do a case study on Miles Medina's routine and how he got viral, man. I think it'd be like, we need to like research that.
Yeah, let's dig into this, and let's put that in the back pocket for later. This is very
SEO, TikTok SEO with the Beat Refinery.
I like it.
We're not. By the way, disclaimer: we're not SEO experts, specialists.
Another disclaimer, guys. Like, we don't. I actually have
certification. Hashtag, I play the music.
Yeah.
Oh man. So what are you, Doc? Like, what are you gonna? What about you, Sean? Because you're a heavy TikTok user. Like are you gonna start using Audius?
Maybe to I signed up for it. Like 3 hours ago. I signed up for like 3 hours ago. And I was looking through it. Like last week when we did our pre-production meeting talking about what we were planning for the future, I was looking at Audius just to see what was on there. And I saw a whole bunch of producers, like underground producers that I've been a fan of for a while. And I was like, okay, if I'm seeing certain names on here, Astro and Originist from Selection and like Mr. Carmack, I was just like, whoa, these guys are on here. Like this is big. Because these are the kind of people that I look to be like, if this is something they're interested in, they're usually ahead of the trend.
Right.
So I signed up for Audius so I can like really get my hands dirty on it and really understand how it works. And I don't have anything to upload yet. But I mean, if you want to follow me on Audius, DJ Sean J, that's where you find me. Let's see where this, how deep this rabbit hole goes. Yeah. I'm very curious how this is going to turn out. And plus, hey, if there's a way to make some money long term, I'm all about making money while I'm in my house as opposed to on the road.
If you guys can name like a DJ that does like, you know, like really dope edits, remixes, who do you think will go? You think Nick Bike can go?
I would love Nick Bike to get on Audius.
That would be amazing.
That would be dope. And also, Jid, I answer your question. Like, I haven't done this too much yet, but I definitely would like to incorporate Audius as a part of my digging practice, you know, and I'm just going through listening to new music.
Explain that.
So much is on Audius that's super underground.
So Audius, you can still, it is like a search feature still, right? Yeah. Like you can definitely like,
I think Trays would be really good too.
It'd
be a really, cause he can just, you know.
Well, especially some of his remixes recently, man, like he needs to get that on that train and get on the TikTok, hype train.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
get some crappy jacket.
I love how that integrates now.
There we go.
Oh,
I mean, you do that, and it's so that one push of a button
Chris
away.
Is gonna start working that Serato studio. All right, moving on. What's next, Doc?
Well, if we're talking about the online space, but if we're going outside and getting gigs in the club. Is proof of vaccination coming to a venue near you? Are you going to have to prove that you are vaccinated? Like this is, you know, it's now Live Nation. It just came out with an announcement saying that they will allow artists the option to require that you show proof of vaccination to go to their show. Right. So technically, I want to be clear, they're not mandating it, but now it's become an option for artists to decide whether or not, yes, you can only come to my show if you have been vaccinated.
So this is an interesting one because we have, we've reached the point in our society where we have pretty split down in the groups pretty definitively on whether you're like, yes, so everybody should have to choose or upload proof of vaccination. And then other people are like, no way, you can't steal my freedom from me. You cannot mandate. Government can't mandate vaccination. And the interesting part are normally the people that are really clamoring for less government and more private industry are being kind of hit in the mouth by their own words.
That argument's coming back to bite them. Yeah.
The private industry is the one driving the
desire
for vaccination to be required at these venues. And a perfect example is Live Nation. Live Nation is probably the biggest, if not one of the biggest overall concert venue festival entities in America, especially, and they have already required, they're already requiring all their staff to be vaccinated. And now taking it a step further, just letting artists choose whether or not, and it really sets it up for it. And locally here in DC, there's bars and restaurants that are requiring vaccination to come into their space already. New York City is another one. I think there's a couple in California too, could be states that or cities that.
Yeah.
And you know, so you're going to obviously find that the community where these places are going to dictate, like, obviously it's going to be hard in maybe in Nashville or Charlotte or Atlanta or Florida cities if a venue's like vaccination required, they might have an empty venue. But you know, in the more northeastern and western west coast cities, I think you see more of that mentality. And is it going to really become a point where we're seeing it in the airline industry, where a couple airlines are requiring all their staff to be vaccinated, which once that happens, then the next thing is they roll out whether or not they want. And I'm sure they're doing a whole bunch of board meeting think tanking at all the big companies. But here's the kicker. This is what just came out maybe in the last week. The absorbent COVID hospital stays, the absorbent after effect of COVID related abnormalities that insurance companies are getting pummeled with. Oh, all these bills.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
And insurance companies are right now discussing whether or not to raise substantially a premium, or not even if you're not vaccinated and you get sick and go to the hospital, your insurance might not cover your COVID stay because you chose not to get vaccinated. And if that starts happening where the insurance companies are like, well, that's fine. You it's like maternity leave, right?
Right.
If you want to have maternity coverage in your plan for you and your spouse, then you pay like $200 extra a month for that coverage. So it might be a thing where if you're not vaccinated, you have to actually pay for COVID coverage. This is going to really move the needle. Yeah. Private industry, just like they say,
unintended.
Yeah. The government will not need to mandate any of this.
No. Especially with like the corporations, the two largest corporations with the highest number of employees, Disney and Walmart. They were the first ones to really implement that.
Yeah.
They're basically saying, you know what? My money, my choice. So it's like, you know, you better get vaccinated or you're going to lose. We're going to, you know, terminate your employment.
All the schools are requiring. We saw just last week where a bunch of students tried to sue Indiana University because Indiana University has required that all their students come back to campus fully vaccinated, and it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court sided with the university.
Yep.
So that's setting the precedence that, you know, we won't have to have cities come out or public municipalities come out and actually say you must be vaccinated, but that you're, you know, the local restaurant that you love going to on Friday might say that you need to be vaccinated, or your favorite concert venue might tell you that you need to be vaccinated to come here. And, you know, I just traveled abroad last couple weeks ago, and I went to a country where you could not even enter unless you were fully vaccinated, and you couldn't get on the plane unless you had your vaccination card with you, and you had to have a negative test within the last 48 hours. And
they had very low cases there, right? You mentioned
they have had under 100 cases since the pandemic. And only two deaths.
What did Live Nation say as far as like how are they going to implement it? Like, are they using some sort of technology, or is it just like, hey, I have a picture of my vaccination card. Is that good enough, or are they? I think New York City does they have their own app.
Yeah, know? I think most places are not. You know, they understand that like your vaccination card is kind of it's not something you want to lose.
It's so, like your passport. Yeah.
Yeah. It's in a way, it's like your passport. In some ways, it's even more
I think most people who got vaccinated already have like a picture of it anyways, because they posted it on social media. So just go through your history and boom.
I legit took a picture of mine and posted it on social because I was like, I lose everything. I'm probably going to lose this at some point. So far, so good. I haven't, but like, that's exactly it. You don't want to lose.
I have the Genius Scan app on my phone, and I just made a Genius Scan of it and then emailed it to myself. And so I have it in like 6 or 7 multiple places, but I think it's going to be an app. I think that it'll be one of those scenarios where either it'll be establishments will, if they're smart, they're going to create their own app for your own entry. And then now they have your email address and they can send you coupons and vouchers and e-blasts about what's happening at that venue. So if anyway,
data acquisition,
that'll be like the ooh ah that the corporations and the businesses give, and then that's going to be the nose up that the consumers are going to give, like, oh man, I had to sign up. Even people that are vaccinated be like, man, I had to put it on this app and now they blast my inbox all the time, or you know, or I had to turn the push notifications off on their stupid app.
Those are the worst, actually. Like a lot of like Ticketmaster emails, man.
Yeah,
the worst. You got to unsubscribe so many ways, man. There's like so many different newsletters, man.
Oh my goodness.
Yo, check it. Chris, something I just thought of while you were talking about that. So what you said, it was really accurate that as far as insurance is going, when with health insurance, people are choosing what group they're going to be a part of, and the entire insurance industry is based off of risk groups. So think about it this way. There's also DJ insurance and venue insurance.
Yes.
So if a venue is like, all right, well, in order to have events, our insurance requires us to make sure everybody attending is vaccinated. Like, that's another way that there's like so many different angles in which you can see people in different risk factor groups. DJs specifically, if you've got medical bills and your DJ insurance might cover it if you get sick and miss a gig, they might say, well, if you didn't upload proof of your vaccination, then we know you're around hundreds of people. We might not cover that. All that kind of stuff seems like tertiary ways that this could come into play.
And to your point, Sean, a couple of the big event planners that I work for in DC are requiring all their vendors, whether you're the florist or the DJ or the caterer, to be vaccinated to even work on their events.
Yeah.
And that's even another layer of protection. Like, maybe the venue itself doesn't require it, but this actual planner who's hiring you requires it. Because
planner's good side. Yeah.
Well, and because, you know, it's like they don't want to be the ones responsible and their name is out there, like, oh, X event, whatever, group, event planner. Oh, we did one of their events and 20 people got COVID from the, you know, one of the wait staff, which it could be, you know? So nobody wants to be branded alongside, doing an event where someone got sick, God forbid, died. And, you know, so they're going to start pulling it, you know, and Sean, I didn't even think about that before, but it's like, you know, as DJs, we're all required to have our liability,
insurance.
Yeah. And like, What if someone says, well, the DJ gave me COVID and they want to sue you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know it was him. Like, I mean, that's stupid, but like, people do crazy things.
Do ridiculous things.
People do, you know, and what really drives it are the lawyers. You know, I haven't started seeing them yet, but there'll be the ambulance chasing lawyers that, did you get COVID from blah, blah, blah? Like, we can get you $1 million.
You'll have William Shatner chasing after you, man. In the mid-afternoon commercials.
Exactly. Commercials. Exactly.
If you were a loved one, have they
the Johnny Cochran Law Firm.
Yep.
Here to get your money for you.
Are we gonna have to have like a vaccinated badge on our website or like social media?
Hell yeah. Full disclosure, we're not
health. We are not a medical. Oh, yeah,
we're not a medical university.
Yeah, yeah. Even though a lot of DJs definitely think that they are experts in this field, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's interesting to me that the DJ world in itself is pretty split down on this. That there's a lot of DJs that are anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers. You know, it boggles my mind, but the, you know, like that you would want to be in the settings that we're in and in dark, not a lot of air filtration, packed.
Literally, the first thing that everybody in the world said is the highest risk is our job. So, yeah. Like, whether
you don't want to be vaccinated, or not,
you should probably just like think about it for a second. And that's to your point right there. Just the number of people in a room on a good night at a party is higher risk factor.
And they're screaming and they're yelling and they're drunk and they're touching everything. And yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, there's, I haven't seen any, you know, direct results. I mean, and you know, I don't know how much the big club venues have even really fully reopened to know if there's been any, you know, super spreader events through some of the bigger venues. But
I think a lot of like the concerts are coming back next month. I think September is like the big month for like all concert shows. Yeah. You know, like a lot of Vegas shows, residencies are coming back next month. A lot of the concerts are starting.
Schools are going to be starting. It's I mean,
back to school. Yeah.
What was
so, as like cases, I mean, they're going up right now, but I'm sure it'll probably still go up. You know, as the fall comes in, as colder weather comes around, like, what do you guys think? Have you guys heard of rumblings like through the nightlife scene, as far as like the bigger nightclubs, what they're thinking of doing?
I haven't heard anything directly from venues, but I have noticed that there seems to be like this hole in booking where nothing was really happening for September specifically. So it's either things are like, at least for my schedule, things are like October for nightlife or further, or it was summer and earlier. Like there was this specific gap in September where I was like,
the gold rush of the month of June, where it was like New Year's Eve for 3 weeks straight. And every venue was trying to stay open as much as they possibly could. And that quickly burned out.
Like in London.
Anyway, it was anywhere. I mean, I think
Berlin finally did it today.
Knowing that it was coming, and now everybody
Comes
again, and then let's see what happens.
Yeah, Berlin finally opened up their clubs for indoor. So,
yeah.
I mean, they were like one of the first ones who really like, you know what, we're not
going to. And today's a monumental day in the vaccination timeline because FDA officially approved Pfizer today. So, you know, got to hope that.
Thank God I got my Pfizer.
I got Moderna over here, son.
I think, you know, hopefully that leads to, you know, at least a third of the people that aren't vaccinated yet saying, okay, finally I feel comfortable getting vaccinated.
I'm hoping I might be way too optimistic
on a third.
That's the cool thing, though. Like the past, I guess, couple of weeks, vaccination has been up.
Yeah, I mean,
so
you know, there's certain people that are just gonna not even ever get it. Like everyone that they love around them can die, and they still won't get it. We've seen those stories. But then there's, you know, some of these people that are taking heed of watching a friend get really sick, or someone that they know, even if it's somebody like, you know, there's all these sadly conservative talk show hosts and things that have been dying of recent, you know, that it's like, you know, some of these senators are getting sick and saying, you know, get vaccinated. So, you know, hopefully they can break through to some of the people that are not really, you know.
So don't be a jerk, guys.
Yeah.
Think about other people. Get the vaccine, or if you don't want the vaccine, just don't say anything out loud. Don't be that guy.
Yeah. Don't ever leave your house.
Don't ever leave your house again. Silently stay inside.
All right, fellas. I think that's it.
Yeah, it's a good show.
It's a good show. All right. Well, that's it for today. We're going to see everybody next week. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to search for Beat Refinery in all of your audio podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, Deezer? I don't know. I don't know anymore. We're in like in a part of like a lot of like podcast platforms, but like pretty much like 90% of those, like I can't even pronounce their names. Anyways. All right, fellas. I'll see you guys next week. We'll see everybody next week. So make sure to visit beatrefinery.com if you want to learn how to mix, scratch, and make music. We have locations nationwide. Make sure to subscribe to BeatSource, official partner of the
BeatSource
and Serato.
Official Serato, of course. Serato. The Beat Serato. Learn Serato Studio and get your edits on and put them on Audius and upload it to TikTok.
And that buck that bought the bottle could have struck the lotto.
All right, fellas. Everybody, once again, peace out.
Peace.
Peace out, everybody.
We need our sound man back, man. Come on. Come on, Art. You better be back next week.
And if...